Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of Gate 7 International. I am Kostas Lianos, or Kostas with a K, if that rocks your boat. And I am joined by, absolutely no one except what could be my soon-to-be replacement as Gate 7 International co-host, my cat Paco. There he is. He's a little shy right now, but he caught wind of that bet we made last week. And for all those who weren't around, the bet was quite simple. If Olympiacos signed David Carmo on a permanent deal, not on another loan deal, if we signed David Carmo on a permanent deal, which means we're basically going to have to splash a record fee of around 13 to 14 million pounds that breaks Zlatko Zahovic's record since 1999, I will concede my place to Paco. So Paco, want to say hello to our good friends from Gate 7 International, our lovely audience? Maybe later. Maybe he'll join us later. He's not camera ready right now. I'll have him around next to me since I am going solo right now. Quite a bittersweet evening for all Olympiacos fans. Obviously, football very, very bitter when you look at the senior club. But we do have some very good news all around. But before we get on all those on all that. Please, guys, if you haven't done so already, please do like and subscribe. I mean, a lot of you are flooding right now. Please, it really helps the algorithm. It helps the channel grow. It helps it reaching an even greater audience. We're being watched by a minimum of 90 countries right now, if you can believe it. Lots of people from the U.S., lots of people from Australia, Argentina, Germany, and, of course, the motherland, Greece, where I happen to be talking to you from right now, from lovely Athens. The African dust has cleared out. It felt like I was on Dune or Mad Max yesterday. I thought it had a bit of beauty, you know, towards the evening, towards the towards the sunset. But to be honest with you, I mean, this is quite an unhealthy situation, especially for people with breathing problems, with lung problems. So it's good that it has cleared out. We are being watched by every single continent bar Antarctica. If I'm wrong and you happen to be watching us from Antarctica, thank you for supporting our channel. And please do, everybody who's watching right now, leave a comment and let me know where you're watching us from. It's always great to see, to meet new people, and it's always great to have you on board. Guys, if you haven't done so already, please do support us on Patreon. You can find us on patreon.com/gate7international. That's international, not INTL or any of those weird things. So patreon.com/gate7, that's the number, international. You can join us for as little as $1 a month. $1 a month. What can you buy with $1 a month these days? Tell me, what can you buy with $1 a month these days? Nothing. Every $1 a month. What starts with $1 a month? I don't know. Maybe you can buy Kostas Lianos wardrobe, even cheaper than the Salvation Army. So there you go. We just found something you can buy for $1. You definitely can buy yourself a lovely subscription with Gate 7 International, where you're going to have exclusive access to all of our cool stuff or some cool interviews. We had Paul Taylor from The Athletic recently. We have a lot of players coming in. We formed a lot of friendships with a lot of players throughout the years. And also you can join our WhatsApp group, which has taken its life of its own. I can see you guys flooding in, and it's amazing to have you guys over. We got a lots to unpack, but before we get there, guys, we have some amazing news. We got some merch going on, Gate 7 International merch. You can find it on our website, gate7intl.com. You can find some jackets, some t-shirts, some jumpers, some caps, some woolly hats. It is a first, and we thank you so much for your support. So if you want to try some of our merch, please do visit. I am going to buy my own set, and finally I'm going to be wearing some more Olympiacos stuff. Here I'm wearing a t-shirt of one of my favorite charities. It's called CAS, Kedro Adespoton Zon, which it's an independent charity in Greece, which takes care of stray cats and dogs. So soon enough, I'm going to be wearing some Gate 7 International merch. Please join me on that. And Big shout out to Yurgia Sideri for helping us out with her lovely unboxing as Aunt Vula or Thea Vula, which is a nod to probably my favorite character from the Greek fat, my big Greek fat wedding trilogy. I haven't seen the third movie yet. Was it any good? Let me know in the comment section so I know what to expect. Let's go through some comments here. Well, Fetanos, Gate 7 International original right here. Kostas, it's 2 a.m. Good night. Well, no, it's 2 a.m. in Greece, but it's not 2 a.m. From around the globe, especially in the U.S. where we have a lot of people watching us. Guys, let me know where you're watching us from. There's almost 100 of you right now watching us across all different social media channels. Let me know where you're watching from. Let's get the party going, you guys. Let's get the party going here. You're going to tell me now, what kind of party? I mean, look what Olympiacos did, the senior team. But guys, as Ben De Rossia kicks it off, at least basketball won. What do you mean at least basketball won? That's huge, man. That's huge. Maybe Ben is trying to tell us what's new. You know, basketball team constantly makes us proud across all competitions. Guys, huge victory from Olympiacos against Barcelona away, a team that rarely loses at home. And Olympiacos just managed to pick up a huge 77-75 victory in Catalonia in game one in the EuroLeague. Huge, huge result for Olympiacos this to kick things off for us. In the regular season, they rarely lost. They had the best home record. And Olympiacos now have the home court advantage. Next game against it's on Thursday, if I'm not mistaken, the next game, isn't it? We don't have Dimitris Kouintzidis or Kostas Levoyanis helping us out here. But we got the home court advantage. Game two on Friday, actually, 10 p.m. Greek time. Against Barcelona, obviously, the first three victories, wins it. It's the best of five. Game three and four at CEF, which is huge for us. So if Olympiacos win those two games at CEF, Stadio Irinski Filias, that's pretty much us in the final four. A very tight game. We managed to keep our noses in front the entire game, secured the W through our brilliant defense, despite both walk up. And fouling out. Amazing performance by Petrushev, although he picked up an injury on his knee. Hopefully it's nothing serious right there. That's absolutely crucial there. Let us know in the comment section what you thought about the what you thought about this huge win against Barcelona. Making us proud, the basketball team, obviously always reliable, this fantastic team by Bartzokas. Petrushev, as I said, incredible performance. And I think I got some stats here. And he came back from an injury he already had, Filip Petrushev. Again, I'm going to be letting you know about all the latest regarding his knee injury. In just 15 minutes, he put up 12 points. That was in the final minute where he got that injury. As I said, I'm going to be bringing you some live updates. Let's see what we got from you guys here. Thanks for joining us, Achilleas Beos. Another Gate 7 International original right there. Thank you so much for all the love and support, Achilleas. All the true loyalists are here tonight. Well, you know, we're all loyal to the channel, but I feel like you do have a point. Ben, thank you so much for another comment. Hopefully Petrushev is fine. I dressed him for game two regardless. Get him ready for Seth. He and Goss were the MVPs tonight. Amazing performance by Walk Up and Fall as well. Although they fouled out, didn't they? So, you guys are already talking about the football, about tonight. You know what? It's good news and bad news because guess what? We didn't really have a show regarding the under-19s, guys. Olympiacos' under-19 side only went out and became the first ever Greek club to win a European trophy. Ever, you guys. We're talking about almost 150 years of Greek football here. Olympiacos under 19 side beating AC Milan's reserves 3-0 in Lyon to win the UEFA Youth League. And what a performance that was. 3 goals in just 6 minutes after the hour mark, with Christos Mouzakitis getting things started from the penalty spot. There's a player Olympiacos really need to consider for next season. There's a player that definitely needs to be on that plane to, pretty sure it's Austria, not sure if it's Zefeld, for preseason, guys. Olympiacos will need extra players in midfield, especially if Andre Orta doesn't stay. Definitely one player that needs to be bought right there, Andre Orta. But if he doesn't stay, Christos Mouzakitis needs to be seriously considered. There's also Agibou Camara coming back from his loan stint at Atromitos. Then Adonis Papakanelos with stunning movement and dribbling from a tight corner down the right, get pretty much sealing it for Olympiacos right there. An amazing number 10. What do you guys think? Do you think Papakanelos could be Kostas Fortunis' natural successor at Olympiacos? Kostas Fortunis out of contract in June 30. Pretty confident he's going to sign a new deal. I mean, where is he going to go in his 30s right now? He didn't go to West Ham when he had the opportunity in the summer of 2019 to play in the Premier League at top level at a good age. He didn't do it then. Well, where is he going to go now? Not really the kind of guy who wants to move abroad. He's pretty settled in Greece, but a lovely goal by Papakanelos. And I mean, do I even have to say this, guys? Incredible, legendary, probably the best ever UEFA Youth League goal of all time. Fanis Bakoulas, the defensive midfielder, with a stunning overhead kick. Brought me back memories of that Pelé kick from that movie, The Great Escape, wasn't it called, with Michael Caine and Sylvester Stallone. Goal of the tournament, no doubt. Maybe the best goal in UEFA Youth League history. Sealing an absolutely historic triumph for Sotiris Ilaidopoulos' kids. An incredible initiative that has been put together in the last few years. Years in the making, we hear from Jose Anigo. Huge shout outs to Isidros Koutsidis, Kostas Kostoulas, and of course, guys, the next big thing of Greek football, Babis Kostoulas. Talking about players that need to be on that plane to Zefeld, to Austria, wherever the hell it's going to be, Babis Kostoulas needs to be in it. I'm telling you guys, if that player was in France, he would have already been starting. He would have already been a big thing. Agents would have been talking about it. Journalists, newspapers, hell, I know the Sun would be talking about him right now. Everybody would be looking into him, especially teams that are looking into youth, such as Arsenal, such as Barcelona, Ajax. Guys, Babis Kostoulas is the next big thing. Definitely someone that needs to be on that plane. So, guys, you're still not telling me. I mean, guys, Jesus Christ, there's hundreds of you, and I mean, Jesus Christ, where are all the likes, guys? Come on, let's have some support, guys. Let's kick it up a notch. Let's kick it up a notch. We got a fantastic question from Ben as well. Ben, again, Costa, if Jolakis leaves, do you think Sina will be with the senior team next year, or do we need to send him on loan first? That's a great question, Ben. Well, first off, guys, it's going to be a huge tragedy if Jolakis doesn't sign a new contract with Olympiacos. His contract runs out on June 30. Absolutely dreadful management by Olympiacos right there with one of their most shiniest young talents in this team. And he could leave for absolutely nothing. And he's got extra motivation because he can sign-on fee with a new club as a free agent. Already a lot of interest in him from abroad. Got a new agent as well. He really needs to sign a new contract. Give him whatever the hell he wants. If he stays, then you got Zolakis and Alexandros Paschalakis as your goalkeepers. When it comes to the third goalkeeper, Ben, well, we also got Botis, who did very well at Inter. There's another player that needs to be that the powers that be need to keep tabs on. There's another player that can leave like Zolakis if you don't manage him well. So you can't have both of them on the bench alongside Paschalakis or Zolakis, which, let's face it, it would be Paschalakis if Zolakis signs a new deal. So one of them would have to go out on loan, if not both of them. Or maybe one of them in the B team and the other one as an understudy as a third. Or maybe both of them could be taking could be swapping the B team's number one spot. I'll tell you what, though, if Zolaikis stays, then it's him and Paschalaikis. I feel like Botis or Sina needs to go out on loan, one of those two. If Zolaikis leaves, then Paschalaikis is left as the number one. I could see Olympiacos going for another goalkeeper. It does sound like something they would do. You know, let's get Jorge Mendes on the speed dial. If they don't, then alongside Paschalaikis, you need to have Botis and Sina, in my opinion. One of them needs to be the understudy for Paschalaikis. The other one needs to be the B team number one. So if Zolaikis stays, Botis or Sina goes out on loan. The other one becomes the third choice and the number one in the B team. If Zolaikis leaves, then Paschalaikis is your number one. Sina and Botis in the first team. One of them taking spots as the B team number one. So I think it's time to go to the rather bad news of the night. Olympiacos played against Aris in Kleanthis Vikelidis in a must-win game, especially after PAOK messed up against Lamia. We're held up to a 1-1 draw there, a late 1-1 draw against Lamia. They almost lost. They scored it during stoppage time. Huge gift right there. That would have seen Olympiacos pipping PAOK for third place. Wasn't meant to be. Olympiacos messed it up again. Threw away two major points. And it's another draw against Aris at Kleanthis Vikelidis. Another heartbreak against Aris in the playoffs. We lost last season at Karaiskaki, which pretty much, I mean, I told you guys, I mean, I've been very frank with you during my time here with the podcast. We're not winning the league, guys. We're not. There's no way we're winning the league. The priority right now, the realistic priority right now, guys, is to finish anything but fourth. Second or third, that's the realistic prospect right here, guys, because if we finish fourth, as you all know, then we need Panathinaikos to win the cup over Aris, because if Aris win it, then they're going to the Europa League qualifiers, and it's going to be that alone, and that means no Europe for Olympiacos in their 100th anniversary. And let's face it, guys, I mean, it's going to be absolutely embarrassing having to want Panathinaikos to win the cup so Olympiacos don't miss out on Europe. So that's the priority, really, guys, here. I mean, if my maths don't fail me, if Olympiacos win their match on hand, then they are 5 points behind leaders AEK. AEK have three more matches. They got PAOK away at Touba. Then they got Olympiacos away at Karaiskaki. And I'm pretty sure they got Lamia at Agia Sofia. How convenient. If AEK beat PAOK, then Olympiacos are not winning the title. That's it, officially. If AEK beat PAOK, then that's it. It's over. Olympiacos are not winning the league. But if they do not beat PAOK and Olympiacos win the rest of their match, the rest of their matches, and I'm pretty sure if it's a draw, actually, if it's a draw against PAOK and Olympiacos win all of their other matches, all four of the remaining matches, then there's still hope. But guys, you know what? No. Olympiacos are not winning the league. We got Europe, though. Do let me know in the comment section if you actually think we're going to do this, if we're actually going to go all the way. Kostas Levoyanis told me today, I don't know if I'm supposed to say this, but hell, I'm going to say it. I'll apologize to him if I'm not supposed to. Kostas Levoyanis has a very good feeling. He actually believes we're going to go all the way. He's not worried about Aston Villa. I'm worried. I think the buck stops with Aston Villa. Huge, historic performance in Europe this season. Historic campaign. But, I mean, I think the buck stops with Villa. But, you know, if we win the Europa Conference League, obviously we go straight into the Europa League group stage. So that's the only thing that would save us if we finish fourth and Aris do the unthinkable. So let's go through a few comments. I see you guys are piling up on the across all channels. So great to have you guys. So let's have Let's have a little look. Callum Spencer, thank you so much for joining us, pal. What is the European route for second place now? As realistically, I think Ike may have won the title tonight, so second place seems realistic at this point. Well, contained enthusiasm on that, to be honest with you, Callum, based on what I'm seeing lately. Second, third, and fourth leads to Europa Conference League qualifiers. This is still to be decided based on other leagues right now. But I have a feeling, and do correct me on the comment section, you guys, second and third place lead to the third round of qualifiers, fourth to the second. If I'm not mistaken, I'm not too sure what's going on with the Greek Cup if Aris win it. Or Panathinaikos, because if Panathinaikos win it, they go to the Europa League qualifiers themselves. But right now, what we really need to worry about, Callum, here is not finishing fourth. Olympiakos are not finishing fifth. That's preposterous. But Olympiakos really need to make sure they don't finish fourth. There's another Gate 7 original, Naris Galamats. All the season and the next century are the games against Villa must win. Well, it is certainly a must win. Basically, guys, I mean, I'll tell you what's going on in England right now. Right now in England, they don't care about Olympiacos. They don't expect Olympiacos to do anything against Villa. A fantastic campaign from Unai Emery's men. Fourth best team in the Premier League, pretty much. They are the favorites to finish fourth. If you look at Tottenham's fixtures list, my God, they are facing all three of the Premier League title challengers in Arsenal, Man City, and Liverpool, and they are going to give them hell. They also got Chelsea, who, well, let's face it, they are going through quite the nosedive, but also they got Newcastle as well, and that's their last game. Whereas Aston Villa, much, much easier run-in towards the final few fixtures. So they look like the favorites to win fourth place and earn qualification to the Champions League. So basically right now, nobody expects anything from Olympiacos, but if Aston Villa get eliminated from Olympiacos, they are going to get stick. Unai Emery is being treated as a miracle worker in Europe because of all of his success at Villarreal and Sevilla. Aston Villa are the favorites to win the conference. So if they crash out to Olympiacos, that's going to lead to a lot of criticism, a lot of heavy criticisms. I can already see the back pages on the tabloids. So if you think about it, Villa have a lot more to work for in this one. I'm going to tell you this as well, guys. When it comes to Villa, here's something Olympiacos can take advantage. Villa, pressure is on Villa right now. Not only do they need to win the Europa Conference League to win their first title since 1982, but also they need to show that they can actually do it. Sorry, guys, it's 2 a.m. Sorry, my mind is all over the place. So pressure is on Villa right now, guys. They want to win their first European trophy since 1982. They're the favorites. They do not get to fail. Even if they make it to the final, they do not get to fail against either Brescia or Fiorentina. But also, guys, fifth place is almost definitely not leading to the Champions League next season. After Man City, Arsenal, Liverpool, and West Ham got eliminated, especially Arsenal got eliminated from a German team in Bayern Munich. West Ham got eliminated from Bayer Leverkusen. Germany and Italy are the favorites to get that extra spot. So Aston Villa's best shot at finishing fifth and making it to the Champions League is if the German teams all get eliminated. They all need to get eliminated. And even if they get eliminated, they want them to not have two wins between them or one win and two draws between them. So it will take a miracle for England to have the extra spot in the Champions League. So Aston Villa need to decide, guys. What's more important? Winning their first European trophy since 1982 or sealing Champions League football for next season, which has a lot more prestige in a football sense and in a financial sense? So at some point, they're going to have to understand, they're going to have to decide where all their focus and resources will go. Do they want to go crazy against Olympiacos? Do they want to give it their all against Olympiacos? or do they want to give it their all in the final run of fixtures to make sure they finish fourth and play in the Champions League for the first time in their history next season? A lot of more prestige in football, a lot more prestige regarding finances right there. So that's, there's an advantage for Olympiacos. PAOK always a must win for Europe next season, must get third. Well, all of the games are must win pretty much. What else do we got? Yep, that Bakula's goal is going to live in infamy. Like I said, Ben, Bakula's probably scored the greatest goal in UEFA Youth League history right there. Achilles, again, Ortega is effing awful at crosses. Seriously, he's worse than Oleg at crossing. That's Oleg Rybchuk. Also, Fortunis couldn't lift the ball in the last minutes, and he was taking the corners and free kicks. Don't know why. Well, to be honest with you guys, Santiago is and Pacho Ortega, they've pretty much been playing for 12 months straight, because Argentinian football has a completely different schedule than the Greek football. So, and then European football. So that he's been playing pretty much for 12 months straight. So this guy must be, and Santiago, they must be knackered by now. So to be honest with you, I mean, Ortega, I think, is a great talent. I want to see what he can do after a full preseason break, after a full preseason preparation. I want to see what he can do. But to be honest, guys, how great would it be if Omar Richards stayed for one more season on loan? I mean, obviously, Olympiacos are not buying him. He is considered a promising prospect for Nottingham Forest after his success at Bayern Munich. So how great would it be if he stayed? He is so much better than Ortega. We've been saying it since the first season, since the start of the season. Who's our best fullback? Omar Richards. When he's fit, when he's fully fit, when he's not injured. He's over his injury hell. And now he's showing why he's the best we got. Will be very interesting, though, to see what Doron Leitner can do. A very promising talent. Lots of talent in him. He definitely needs to get his chance next season, guys. He's gonna get over his injuries by the end of preseason. Definitely need him to show what he can do. I am very excited to see what he can do for Olympiacos down the left. Aris Galamatis, I am very curious on the team Mendilibar will build next season. Too many expiring contracts of key players and a lot of talent, but too young for the first team at the moment. Well, we were talking about Sina and Botis. I mean, they're 20, pretty much. And a lot of the other talent, like Mouzakidis, is close to his 20s, if I'm not mistaken. And Papakanelos as well. I think Papakanelos is 20, isn't he? Well, basically, we've said this before here, Ari, and I'm going to say it again. When it comes to the expiring contracts, all you got to do is renew Fortunis and Zolakis. That's it. Fortunis and Zolakis. I'd like Vrusai to renew as well, but not the end of the world if he doesn't. So renew Fortunis and Zolakis. And when it comes to the low knees, all you got to do is buy Andre Ort and Daniel Podens. That's it. Buy those two. If you manage to do those two little things, then all you need from the summer transfer window, a very good center back, like David Carmo, like Olof Melberg, like Ruben Semedo, a very good center back, and a very good number six. That's it. A very good number six like Yanem Villa or Guilherme. That's it. That's all you need from the summer transfer window. And obviously give a huge chance to Babis Kostoulas, Mouzakidis, Koutsidis, and Papakanelos in the summer transfer window. That will fill in some very important spots. You also got Agibou Camara coming back on loan. Alex Kalogeropoulos coming back on loan. Two very good players who can offer a lot, who can do a lot for Olympiacos. They can contribute greatly. Rollface, thank you so much for your comment, pal. Honestly, if we're just talking Braga, what is there to win for Zolakis? It's not an upwards move in terms of a club reputation, and here is a pretty much guaranteed as a starter. Well, yeah, I mean, there are those reports linking Braga with Zolakis. I said it before last time, you guys. I mean, even if Zolakis leaves Olympiacos, where is he going to go? And where is he going to go where he's guaranteed to become the team's number one? Because he's going to have to earn his way there as well, you know? Zolakis had a great game against Fenerbahce. He introduced himself to Europe. He definitely did that. But, you guys, it was only one game. It's going to be very interesting to see what he does against Aston Villa. Aris Boulubasis, my co-host, said here that if he puts together a couple of belters against them, then he feels like it is a certain that Zolakis will get a lucrative move to a greater club and a greater league elsewhere. I'm not so sure if that's a certain, because we're still talking about the conference here, guys. We're not talking about the Champions League. But Zolakis needs to have a long think, because in my opinion, I said it here again, if he stays at Olympiacos for another couple of years max, he is guaranteed the number one spot. José Luis Mendilibar loves him. He rates him greatly. And he's going to win titles. This dry spell is not going to last long, you guys. This trophy dry spell, the silverware dry spell, is not going to last long, especially based on what we're seeing now under Mendilibar, who is staying for next season. That's half the battle, guys. Half the battle was keeping José Luis Mendilibar. So he's going to win titles at Olympiacos, and he's going to play in Europe at top level. Olympiacos, a frequent presence in the knockout stages of a major European competition. So he's going to drive his stock up if he stays at Olympiacos, and he could force a much more lucrative move at a team that would see him as their next number one. So basically, I'm going to say this, guys. If Zolakis stays for another couple of years, then he could have a José Sá-like career. But if he leaves right now, in my opinion, he still risks having a Stefano Capino-like career. I feel like it's a little too early for him to be making a big move. PAOK lost its marbles after Bruges. Well, ain't that the truth? We're going to need them to do something for us, though, at Touba against the AEK. And PAOK, let's not forget, they're playing against all of us, all three of us, Panathinaikos, Olympiakos, and AEK at Touba. That could be quite the difference maker. We all know what a hot ground Touba are. The league was lost when Cordon left the club in autumn. Well, you're not wrong there, pal. I mean, talking about not giving any opportunities, some absolutely childish mistakes from Olympiakos' hierarchy. Major mistakes by Vangelis Marinakis and co. Antonio Cordon was supposed to be a new era. Was supposed to be a game changer for Olympiacos for years to come after his amazing success at Villarreal. Didn't last 3 months, basically. Obviously, Cordon had some serious family problems, and Vangelis Marinakis did support him a lot. He did support him a lot, and I'm pretty sure he still does, because he always believed in him. I wouldn't be surprised if we see him at Nottingham Forest anytime soon. I really wouldn't be surprised. But obviously, the trigger was pulled way too soon. Then we have a successor who came in. What was his name again? Pedro Alves came in for a cup of coffee. And now we're back with Darko Kovacevic. I mean, in a sense, like, it kind of feels like Olympiacos are sticking to what they know. They're sticking to what works. They're bringing in people that know what Olympiacos is all about. Darko Kovacevic, Christian Karebe, two men that know exactly what it takes to succeed at Olympiacos, what the identity is, what the fan base is like, what the history is, what the tradition is. So in that sense, those were some really good decisions right there. But do let him work. What we do need right now this summer, we need Kovacevic and Mendilibar to work together. Vangelis Marinakis needs to be just a spectator. What do you need, coach? What do you need, Darko? That's what you need. Okay, let's have a look at the budget. Let's see if we can buy this player. I expect Mendilibar to go and buy, you know, his own guys as well. As long as it's a really good center back and a really good number six, I don't mind. But guys, I honestly believe if you keep Zolakis and Fortunis, if you keep Orta and Podens, all you need is a really good number six and a really good center back. You don't need another cash splash this summer. Callum again. If second place still a route to the Champions League, or is the Europa League? And if, big if, we win the Conference League, do we automatically get Europa League next season? Yes, we get automatic Europa League next season if we win the conference. That is indeed a huge if, Callum. No, I understand second place and third place and fourth place is Europa Conference, straight to the Europa Conference, qualifiers, that is. Not sure what's going on with the other leagues. Obviously, I'm going to keep an eye on that. Aris covering there. It is for the conference qualifiers. But we're going to have to see what's going on with the other leagues. There's still some miraculous, there are still some crazy scenarios out there that could lead to Champions League football for second place. We're going to have to wait and see. Yeah, everybody's covering me here about the conference. Yeah, if we win conference. There's Ben again. If we lose by only or get a better result in Birmingham, we'll absolutely do them at Karaiskaki. Well, here's the thing, guys. When it comes to the Birmingham game, it's all about managing that match. It's okay if Olympiacos lose, but don't lose by more than one goal. It's extremely important not to lose by more than one goal. You want to have something manageable at Karaiskaki. The perfect scenario is we beat Aston Villa. The good scenario is we draw against Aston Villa. If we lose, if it's just by one goal difference, it's fine. I have full faith in Olympiacos pulling off a miracle at Karaiskaki, but that is as long as the scoreline from Birmingham is manageable. Because we saw Aston Villa. They are more than capable of putting together a thrashing. They thrashed Alkmaar, they thrashed Ajax in the conference this season. They can do it with Olympiacos. So it's important to be very careful with this team. If you look at them, though, I mean, if you look at them across all competitions, they do concede a goal per game. They do concede pretty much over one goal per game. So it is manageable to get a goal against Aston Villa. Very difficult, but it's manageable. And Emi Martinez, one of the best goalkeepers in the world, he's not going to be playing at Villa Park after his shenanigans against Lille in the second quarterfinal leg, where he got those two weird yellow cards. He's not playing at Villa Park. He will be at Karaiskaki, and expect him to be the biggest wind-up merchant to ever step foot at Karaiskaki, at least on a European basis. Exactly, and every time Little... Well, not always, to be honest with you. Here we got AD, 1993. It will be tough, but it can be done. Absolutely, absolutely, AD. You guys still haven't told me, like, do you guys believe we can win the conference? Go on, guys. Come on, let me know. Hat on the table. Let's do this, guys. Aris is already... Aris is kicking things off. Very tough, but it will be our first final in a century. Well, it's our first final ever in a European on the European stage. And of course, plus turning Opapa Arena red and white will spoil that field forever. Well, would be something if we lift the trophy at Opapa Arena, especially, you know, now that AEK are on the brink of another Super League title. We shall see much to come, my friend. Well, that we do. Ben again, Richards is the best left back at the club and gets rotation minutes. We must commit to him more. I think so as well. I mean, he came back from an injury. He's not knackered in any way, shape, or form like Kostas Fortunis is after basically taking so many games, after carrying the team during so many games this season. So, yeah, I mean, I don't see any reason why he shouldn't be starting every game pretty much. And yes, he is better than Ortega. You are right, AD. Chance to the Twins, I agree. But judging from the previous two seasons, they will be crucified like Doi now, as well as Vrusai and Andrutsos before. Well, Panos Retsos is one of the best. Panos Retsos and Kostas Tsimikas, you know, there's that example. But yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, for every Panos Retsos, there's Marius Vrusai. For every Kostas Tsimikas, there's Athanasis Androutsos. Andreas Doi, well, another huge mistake that led to Moron's goal this evening against Aris. Well, personally, guys, I feel like Andreas Doi, the center back, has no place at Olympiacos next season. But Andreas Doi, the defensive midfielder, the jury's out on that one. I would like to talk a bit about the match. Olympiacos missed a raft of opportunities against Aris. We have that saying in Greece that he who misses chances concedes a goal. And that's exactly what happened today with one big mistake from Andreas Doi, who gave the ball away to Moron, who's having an incredible season with Aris, the team's top goal scorer. I don't know. Is he the top goal scorer in the Greek Super League right now, or is it still El Kabi? Because El Kabi got that goal. He pretty much stole it from Zelson Martins. He wanted to make sure it was going in, though. So, you know, all the power to him. He didn't know that the ball was certainly going in for a goal. And he seemed confident that he wasn't offside. So that's good as well. So we missed a raft of chances again. Failed to take advantage of our rivals wasting points. Olympiacos still fourth. Cosa Slevogliani said it last season. Hit the nail right in the head with this one. But I wish he used a better metaphor. What he said was, he used that scene from The Dark Knight Rises, where Bruce Wayne was thrown into that pit with all those other lost souls, with only a fragile rope to make them think that they can climb out of that pit. And it's the hope that kills you. That's what he wanted to say. I wish he came up with a much, much better example. I wish he came up with like William Shakespeare or Ernest Hemingway or Leo Tolstoy or Plato, but instead he came up with, you know, DC fucking comics. You know, I wish he came up with something much deeper. But this is it. It is the hope that kills you, you guys. I mean, that's what happened last season when we slowly but steadily started to improve until we lost to Aris, until we lost to Ike. Yeah, we lost to Ike. Same this season. You know, we lost to Ike, we lost to Panathinaikos. Now we couldn't beat Aris. It's the hope that kills you guys. But then again, you know, everybody here in Greece is talking about the best Ike ever, and they're not. They're nothing like Dusan Bajevic's Ike. They're nothing like Fernando Santos's Ike. I mean, think about it. Last season, against one of the worst Olympiakos teams of all time, they needed to take it to the wire to mathematically seal the title, and chances are they're going to have to do it again this season as well, based on what we're seeing. So I'm not convinced that Olympiakos have drifted away. I don't believe Olympiakos are left behind, especially now. I mean, they finally found the manager that they need. They're finally building together a strong team, a strong base, and they have a fantastic youth talent. But, you know, they have to take advantage of it. And as we said, for every Panos Retsos, there's a Marios Vrusai. For every Kostas Tsimikas, there's a Thanas Sandroutsos. So let's see. Up to Olympiakos to screw up this amazing, amazing youth talent. Up to Olympiakos to destroy the next big thing in Babis Kostoulas. Abby signing Kalogeropoulos Retsos, that's solid CB group for next year. Well, Abby, a very good signing. Kalogeropoulos Retsos. I'm going to throw in Koutsidis as well for you there, Ben. I'm throwing Koutsidis there as well. And that's not even mentioning Koutsidis. Well, there you go. I mean, great minds think alike, it seems like, Ben. Doi's mistake was criminal. Well, you know, like I said, AD, you know, Doi, the center back, never in a million years, but the defensive midfielder, which we will need one. We need one. I want to see what he can do. Tsimikas and Likoyanis did careers because they left the toxic ownership management. Well, Tsimikas was going to be, if Tsimikas did a Fortunis, he would have been, he would have started at Olympiakos, no questions asked to this day. It's not like Likoyanis. Likoyanis left and he has enjoyed an impressive career in Italy. There's another player that Olympiakos didn't take the most of right there. I agree about Zolaik staying 1 or 2 years. He will be top shelf in Europe. Should he leave now, the kid is taking a massive risk that can or not work out for him. Agreed. Kovacevic and Mendilibar are the personalities that will stop all the insane ideas the ownership and management had for 2 years now. Well, we can only hope so, Aris. Let's see what else we got here. I mean, well, it seems like it's Aris, Achilleas, AD and Ben who are putting together the conversation. Guys, don't be shy. Let us know what you think. And let us know where you're watching us from. Aris, again, there is an exception to second to fourth conference depending on what happens to other leagues. But they're highly unlikely. Don't count on it, as I said before. And yeah, definitely don't count on it. Achilles, keep in mind that Marinakis will definitely do a big move this summer for the 100 years. We know how much he loves doing that. Well, as long as it's a center back and or a number six, then I'm fine with that. If it's anything else other than that, I wonder if we need a striker, because El Kabi does the job, to be honest. But that is if he has really good support. That is if Podence, Zelson Martins, and Fortunis are on a good day. So maybe a good striker as well to join Olympiakos. Or Babis Kostoulas, guys. Babis Kostoulas could be the kind of talent that can take the ball and do something out of nothing. Great dribbling abilities, great runs, great attacking nous. He's an independent kind of striker. He can do something himself. He doesn't have to rely on crosses, on through balls, on set pieces. He can do something on his own. And he showed it throughout the youth league. Amazing touch, amazing runs, amazing dribbling ability. Guys, we cannot screw Babis Kostoulas. If Babis Kostoulas is not on the preseason squad, this is going to be an absolute tragedy. We lost by 3 and progressed by winning by 5 last round. Villa is good, but underestimate us. Winning at home, their weakness will be amplified. I'll tell you what about Villa. We got some good news and bad news here. Good news is José Luis Mendilibar knows everything about Unai Emery. Both of them from the same Basque school, pretty much same career. Bad news, Emery also knows Mendilibar very, very well. Emery is a genius when it comes to European football. I believe he could have won a European title. The conference, he could have definitely won it with us if he was manager. Aston Villa, like I said, guys, pressure is on them. They're the favorites. They need to deliver. They want that first European trophy since 1982, but they need to decide, guys, what's more important right now. Fifth place in England, it's almost definitely not going to lead to the Champions League next season. They're going to need Bayern Munich, Bayer Leverkusen, and Borussia Dortmund to get eliminated. And if they get eliminated, they want them not to have two wins between them or not to have one win and two draws between them. You understand how difficult it is. So Villa need to decide what's more important right now. Winning your first European trophy since 1982, which leads to the Europa League, which you're going to get anyway, or going to the Champions League, finishing fourth, sealing fourth place, and making it to the Champions League. That's what they need to decide. That's the pressure right there. But still, guys, an incredible team that has a few absences. Emi Buendia, Tyrone Mings, Jacob Ramsey, and we're waiting to see what's going on with Alex Moreno and Nicolo Zaniolo for the game against Olympiacos. We know Emi Martinez is not playing in the first game, but to be honest, guys, this is the battle of midfield right there, because Villa love to play out the back. Ezri Konsa and Pau Torres are very good with the ball, moving the ball forward. They get a lot of help from Douglas Luiz, who perfectly combines midfield with defense. Also very good in connecting midfield with attack is Luiz. Olympiacos need to be very careful with those through balls to Oli Watkins from Luiz and Luca Dean. That's usually how Watkins scores. Pretty much the best English striker in the Premier League right now. He has scored 2 goals less than Cole Palmer, but half of Palmer's goals were penalty takes. So, I mean, he is the best English striker in the Premier League, is Oli Watkins. Very important to keep him quiet. I suppose David Carmo is going to be all over Watkins on this one. Would make most sense there. But even if they do so, guys, I mean, Villa are so good with a high press. They are so good that they often force mistakes from opposing defenders, and they force them to clear the ball. Well, Olympiacos, they're not the kind of team that play out the back. They do clear the ball a lot. That is typical Mendilibar right there. But we did give the ball away a lot against Fenerbahce in Istanbul, in Constantinople, I should say. It was extremely difficult for us to complete 3 passes, which I can see happening against Villa. Definitely see it happening if we do not improve. And when it comes to defense, guys, it is so sophisticated, because Emery's style is a lot more defensive than it is attacking. So it is very sophisticated, because they are very good at catching the opposing strikers offside. On an offside position, the offside trap, they are so good at it. Fenerbahce often caught Olympiacos strikers in an offside position. Expect them to do the same if Olympiacos don't improve. Ezri Konsa are so good in 1v1 situations. I can see El Kabi struggling against them. It's going to be a very difficult match, guys. It's the battle of midfield. We cannot go with 2 midfielders there. We cannot simply go with Eze and Chiquinho like we did in Constantinople. We cannot go with Eze and Ibora like we did in Salonika against Aris. My opinion, Orta, Chiquinho, and Eze need to start this match. It's the battle of midfield, guys. Whoever wins this battle wins the battle and wins the war. Let's have a look at some more comments here. If we beat Villa, there's 0% chance we lose at Athens final. Well, I said it before, and a lot of people attacked me. I'm going to be depressed if we eliminate Villa and don't win the final. I am going to be seriously depressed if we eliminate the fourth best English team, the absolute favorites of the Europa Conference League. If we eliminate them and don't beat either Fiorentina or Bruges, I'm going to be depressed because I'm going to look at it. I will forever look back at it and think to myself, my God, why didn't we become European champions that night? We will win the conference at Ajax home ground. Well, you know, hopefully. Vrusai was an excellent backup. I want Vrusai to stay, you guys. And I don't know, maybe the fact that he went to Rio Ave shows that there is a will from his side to renew, because Vangelis Marinakis is going, per my sources, Vangelis Marinakis is going to officially take over Rio Ave as long as they escape relegation. So I really want Vrusai to stay, guys. I really rate him. He is such a talent. And he's more than just a plan B, to be honest with you guys. There is so much talent. The runs, the dribbling, the passion. He knows what Olympiacos are all about. And he's Greek. God damn it. We need more Greek players, you guys. And I said it on social media, guys. When it comes to number six, Olympiacos need to revisit Manoli Siopis. Siopis, yeah, he left a cloud. But you know what? He told Betarades he holds no grudge. He is still such a good player. I mean, you saw him coming in against Georgia in the playoff final, and our midfield was transformed the moment he entered the pitch. And he plays for Cardiff right now. I mean, what are the chances of Cardiff making it to the Premier League anytime soon? Let alone, I mean, forget about Europe. So why not come to Olympiacos and win titles and play in Europe? Definitely revisit Manolis Siopis. This team needs more Greeks, you guys, and that's why we need the young players to come on, because they're passionate about Olympiacos. They want to contribute, and they want to make history with Olympiacos, just like they did with the Youth League. That wasn't a fluke, guys. That was a bunch of very talented and passionate players who wanted to make a difference and want to make a name for themselves, and guess what? They did. Ari says Doi is fine as a backup too, especially in the midfield, as very well said. Plus, he can sub a center back as last resort. This is not how he is used. And well, like I said, no more CB. Vrusai and Andrutsu suffered the same fate. Yes, they did. Tsimikas and Nikoyans left early to avoid that fate. Once returned and upgraded to Liverpool, the other doesn't even want to hear about returning after how he was treated. Well, Tsimikas, well, he left because Liverpool wanted him, and he made the right choice. Well, I'll be honest with you guys. Tsimikas needs to leave Liverpool. He's way better than just a plan B. He's not just a plan B, you guys. He can walk in at many other starting lineups for some amazing teams. In my opinion, Arsenal should sign Tsimikas. He'd be great for Arsenal down at left back. And this way, Oleksandr Zinchenko plays in his natural position as a number eight. He struggled as a left back at Arsenal this season, Zinchenko has. So let him go to his natural position as a number eight and have Tsimikas as left back. I would like to revisit something, you guys, about the contract, about the expiring contracts, the contract rebels, if you will, and the loanees. When it comes to the players that are running out of contract in June, if there's one player out of all of them that definitely needs to renew, that's Zolakis. A young Greek academy graduate that has all the talent in the world to become a superstar. He can have an amazing career at Olympiacos, do incredible things between the sticks, he can lead Olympiacos to titles, he can lead Olympiacos to immense European success. And that in turn could lead to an incredible move, a lucrative move to an elite club at an elite level. And that also would lead to a very high price tag. If he leaves, it would be an absolute disaster, an absolute tragedy. When it comes to the loanees, Daniel Podence is the most important. Because if you look at midfield, if Orta leaves, which would suck, like I said, there's Chiquinho, there's Agibu Camara coming back in, There's Mouzakitis, my opinion, you know, needs to be given an opportunity. But when it comes to both categories, when it comes to both the contract rebels and the loanees, if there's one of them Olympiacos need to sign, you're going to hate this, guys. If there's one player they need to sign, that is Podence. Don't get me wrong. Zolakis, it will be an absolute tragedy for sure if he leaves on a free, because Olympiacos are going to miss out on a lucrative price tag. But when it comes to the football alone, Olympiacos already have a very good goalkeeper in Alexandros Paschalakis. So it's not like they're going to be desperate to bring someone on in the summer, because Paschalakis is already there. And he's been tremendous for Olympiacos during his two-year stint. But when it comes to Podence, guys, if Podence leaves, where are Olympiacos going to find a winger that does what Podence does? Where are Olympiacos going to find a winger that can do what Podence does down the wings, especially for a good price, for a friendly price? Where is that going to happen? How is that going to happen? You're going to say Zelson Martins. Well, Zelson Martins is a very good player, but he's injury prone. He's been injured twice already. And guess what? Podence loves Olympiacos. Podence is a leader. He has the personality. He loves Olympiacos. So yeah, Zolakis, absolute tragedy if he leaves, especially from the financial aspect. But you know what? There's Paschalakis. If Podence leaves, Olympiacos are going to really miss his runs, his dribbling, the way he cuts into the box, his explosiveness. We're going to struggle in the summer transfer window. I can't sleep thinking Ortega will mark Diaby and Bailey. Well, you're right about that. Unless there's some help from midfield, well, we know we're not going to have Podence and Fortunis tracking back. Maybe this is the kind of game you need Yoros Masuras to start, because he does do that. So, guys, I mean, we are closing into 1 hour here, and I think I'm going to wrap things up. I guess I'm going to finish with coach's grade on this one. I'm going to give Jose Luis Mendilibar a C+ because he didn't lose. Lots of opportunities. Olympiacos, again, a lot of attacking threat. They just didn't take their chances like they did against AEK. And they paid for it because, like we said, he who misses chances concedes goals. And that's exactly what happened. So I'm going to give him a C+ because, well, Olympiacos missed a huge opportunity to move to third place and come closer and maintain the same distance from first place. They messed it up. It would have been only 3 points. Olympiacos messed it up. So I'm going to go with a C+. Plus, some options that he some choices that he made. Not opting for Omar Richards, who, as we said, he's in much better physical condition than Ortega, because he has played in such fewer matches. So there's no fatigue factor with him. So he should have started. And also, I feel like Stefan Jovetic, who has greatly improved under Mendilibar, he's more of an impact player. He's not the kind of player you should start. He's not the kind of player that does much when he starts. He's more of an impact player, the guy that comes on and he adds another layer, another option, more attacking threat. So I feel like he got the lineup a little wrong there. So a C+ for Mendilibar, and man of the match, well, there's no one really. I mean, we didn't beat Ari, so I'm not going to give it to anyone right there, guys. We should have won this game, you guys. This is something that Olympiacos are missing right now when it comes to returning at elite level, returning to the top. They need Olympiacos have to take advantage of their rivals' missteps. They need... Did Pauk waste points against Lamia? You win, especially against Aris. Did Ike lose against Panathinaikos or whatever? You gotta win. Anyway, guys, we gotta work on the identity. We got to work on the passion. We got to work on the character of this team. Final few comments. Do we have time? Well, I think, guys, I'm going to wrap it up right now because it's 3 a.m. here in Greece. Thank you so much for joining me at this late hour, you guys. I mean, if you haven't done so already, guys, please do like and subscribe as it really, really helps the channel grow. And join us on Patreon for all exclusive access. Thank you for keeping me company tonight. Presenting the show alone is always difficult, especially at this late hour. But you know what? I love having you guys as my company. We have the best audience in all of the YouTube sphere. Yeah, Guys, thank you so much for joining me, and I'm going to see you next time.